But I believe tonight I have something that the Lord has laid upon my heart to share with you. And I do hope that this message will challenge you and bless your heart. If you don't mind, go with me to the book of Revelation chapter 5. The book of Revelation, I want us to look at verse 12. Just one verse tonight. Revelation chapter 5, it says in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive, underline the word power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Father, I ask you tonight that you speak to our hearts. Lord, use me. Quicken me. Lord, anoint the ears and the hearts of every man, every woman that is here tonight. Lord, give me clarity of thoughts. Lord, I pray that your word will bring the answer to the numerous needs that is present here tonight. I give you glory, praise, honor, and adoration. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, tonight I'm so thrilled and excited to be here and to share with you the word of God. Tonight, I want to tie to my message, the benefits of redemption. The benefits of redemption. I am very thankful that 33 years ago, the Lord reached out to me and the Lord saved me. I'm thankful that God did not only save me, but God filled me with His Holy Spirit. And He called me into the ministry to preach the gospel. I'm thankful for the grace of God in my life. Listen to me, church. Do you know that those who put Jesus Christ to the cross, they thought that they were trying to get rid of somebody that was disturbing their way of life. But what they did not understand was that Jesus was bringing redemption to the whole world. He was bringing redemption to the whole world. The word redemption means to buy back. It means to buy back. This reminds me of a story I read of a little boy many years ago. This boy had a little boat. I don't know what happened, but he lost the boat. And so one day, he was walking, and he saw this boat in a pawn shop. And he went to the man, he said, "Mister, this is my boat." The man said, "No, this boat is here for sale." And the boy said, "How much?" And the man told him the price. And he had to buy the boat. And I believe that is the meaning of redemption. That is what God has done for mankind. When God created man, God never intended that man should die. But because of sin, caused man to die, to experience sickness, to experience disappointment and pain. But thank God that Jesus has paid the full price. It is left with you, it is left with me to reach out and say that price that Jesus paid was for me. Hallelujah. Was for me. So tonight I'm talking about the benefits of redemption. Have you ever sat to ask yourself, are there benefits when somebody accepts Christ as his or our own Lord? There are benefits. And these are the ones I want to mention to you tonight. As we look into the word of God. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 5:12, he cried with a loud voice saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to receive. So in other words, what the Bible here is saying, the moment you are washed by the blood of Jesus, the moment you are washed by the blood of Christ, you are born again. You are a child of God. You are not a sinner. And do you know that the Bible makes us to understand that there are things that you and I, we are supposed to receive naturally when we become born again? Of course, I've read so many books, and I've read, you know, about the apostles, and history tells us that out of the 12 that Jesus had, only one died died natural death. The 11, they were executed. They died, but they died for themselves. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You read books, it tells you about persecutions that some Christians faced, some experienced accidents, some tragedies, some wars, some even experienced what we call protracted illness. But I can tell you that all of these people that we read about, none of them died for you or died for somebody else. They died for themselves. There is only one man, and that man is Jesus. He took your sin, he took my sin, and he died. So he is the only one who died for your sake and for my sake. And so as we accept him, as we believe in him, and as we accept the purpose of God for our lives, the Bible makes us to understand that we are open to the benefits. And these are the ones I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm not sure if I will be able to exhaust everything, but I want us to look at these benefits that the Bible mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. One of them the Bible mentioned is power. Power. This is one of the benefits. Being a child of God, that you are entitled to. You are supposed to have power. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, before we look at this word power, I want to make few things clear quickly. I want to clarify some things. You know, when we become born again, many times, I don't know how it is over here, but in Africa, many people want to, they want you to think that, you know, it is because you have failed in your vocation, you have failed in what you are doing. And so God is looking for a bunch of failures. These are the ones in the church. But I want you to know that when we become born again, it is not because we have failed. It is because God loves us and God has a plan for us. So this is why we accepted the plan of God. And so many people want us to think that, you know, Christianity is boring. But I learned many years ago that, you know, as Christians, we have more fun by accident than sinners do on purpose. We have more fun by accident than sinners do on purpose. And so I'm saying tonight that when you become child of God, it is a plus in your life. You know, I always picture the cross, the sign of the cross. You know, those who are teaching math, you can say that is the sign of multiplication. And so I believe when you become a child of God, it frees you from a lot of trouble. It frees you from a lot of danger. It frees you from a lot of problems in the world. So the cross is not minus. The cross is plus in our lives. Hallelujah. And so this is why I pity those who don't come to church. The Bible says we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, even much more as we see the day approaching. As long as I have life, as long as I have strength, as long as I have the opportunity, I want to find myself in the house of God. This is where God wants us to be. You know, I pity those who are living dishonest lives. Those who become dishonest in their business practices. As a child of God, that has no place in your life. God wants us to be faithful to the end. He wants us to be dedicated to the end. So I'm saying tonight that if we are going to be the Christians that God wants us to be, we need to know about these benefits. We need to know about these benefits. You know what makes Christianity outstanding? It is the benefit that goes with it. That is what makes it outstanding. You cannot brag about your salvation until you have something to show for. Until you have something to show for. And so, going back to Revelation 5, verse 12, the Bible says, and he cried with a loud voice. Listen to me. You know what that means? It means God was saying, I want everybody to hear this. You know, there was a time in the life and ministry of Jesus when he does something, he will say, don't tell nobody. Just keep it to yourself. Keep quiet. Go show yourself. He will not make a fanfare of this, but at this particular time in this verse, the Bible says, and he cried with a loud voice. He cried with a loud voice. What does that mean? It is telling us something here, that the Bible is calling us to attention when it says, and he cried with a loud voice. Anytime you see a loud voice in the Bible, it speaks of attention. You remember at the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible says Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and he cried with a loud voice. He cried with a loud voice. You know, Jesus was saying, let everybody hear about this miracle of raising Lazarus from the grave. So this is what we are seeing in Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. When the Bible says, and he cried with a loud voice. So in other words, Jesus was saying, pay attention. Listen. Listen. Hallelujah. He cried with a loud voice. The Bible says when Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan River, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So my friends, I'm saying to you tonight, every time God shouts or God cried with a loud voice, it is calling your attention. You need to pay attention. You need to listen to what God is saying. So now we want to look at quickly the benefits of redemption. I want to look at the word power. Power. You see, the Bible says in Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And so when we look at the present day church, you'll agree with me that the church seems to be losing the power that God wants us to have. The church is losing the power that it ought to have. When we read the book of Acts, it looks like everywhere you see the power of God manifesting. Has God changed? No. The Bible says God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. And throughout this conference, the words I've been hearing is that drug addiction is becoming a pandemic thing. I want to believe that it is not only in the States, even in Africa, we are battling with that disease. And it looks like the church is powerless in the face of this problem. But I am here this evening to remind you that this is the benefit of redemption. If you are saved, you need to reach out to God. God has deposited that power in you, but you have to activate it. You have to activate it in your life. And it takes prayer. It takes fasting. It takes reading the word of God and believing the promises of God. The days of miracle, the days of power is not over. You and I need to reach out and cry to God. And I believe God has enough people here tonight to pray heaven down if we choose to do that. But too many times we think that, you know, that power is only for the pastor. But the Bible says in the book of Matthew, these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't mention a pastor. If you believe, nothing will be impossible. So we are seeing throughout this conference, we hear about this drug addiction problem. We hear about this homelessness. We hear about these teenage pregnancies. We hear about armed robbery, you know. And of course, to add to the list, sicknesses is another thing. We hear quite a lot of people being attacked by the devil, being hospitalized. There are more people going through the hospital than going through the church. And so, I want to challenge you tonight that church, the days of power is not over. God wants to raise the church. And if God is going to use his people, it's supposed to be the ones who are living holy. Those who are living separated lives. Those who are believing God for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to manifest. So, I'm saying tonight, the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. Take note, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you received Jesus? You have that power. But that power will not manifest if all you do is just to warm the bench. If all you do is just to come, but the javi sees you and you go back and wallow into the things that you are doing. You ought to cry. That hunger must be in you. That thirst must be in you. Oh God, I want to be the Elisha of my time. I want to be the Apostle Paul of my time. I want to be the Peter of my time. God, I want you to release that gift that you were releasing in the lives of the apostles. Hallelujah. So I'm saying tonight, the Bible says in Psalm 62 verse 11, God had spoken once, twice have I heard, these that power belongeth unto God. God is the one that gives power. I've seen God move in the ministry back home. I remember there was a time my wife and I were in town and we came back home and we saw crowds of people in the compound. And it didn't take long. They said, Pastor, we have been waiting for you. We have a case here. This fellow is from the countryside. He went to study and apparently, I don't know what he saw in the countryside. And he was in the bush for over a month. They were searching for him. And when they finally found this fellow, he could not talk. He could not say anything. They would talk to him, he would not respond. So they had to board a vehicle from the countryside, about 4 hours drive. They brought him to the city. And so everybody was sitting there. They wanted to know what was wrong. So what we did, like what Jesus did, I talked to the father and the mother and the boy, myself and my wife. We went into the church. We went into the church, the crowd. We said, you know what? All of you stay outside. And they stayed outside. And I talked to this boy. He could not respond. Then the Holy Spirit said, you need to pray. And I took authority over the spirit of deaf and dumb. I bind that spirit and I command that spirit out of that boy. And I pointed to him. I said, now tell me exactly what happened. The Lord loosed that fellow's mouth. He started talking. He told me what I have just shared. He said he was studying. I don't know what he saw. You know. And he was in the bush. And he told us that he saw something. And that thing was a demon. And so we had to pray. And as I'm talking now, presently that boy is still he has gone back to the countryside. He is a pastor now. He's a pastor. Also, there was another lady. She lives very close by our house. This lady, my wife knows her, and my wife has been trying to encourage her to come to church. But she will say, I am an ardent Muslim. I won't go to church. So something happened. She got sick, and they took her to all the hospitals. They did all the tests. They could not see anything. And this woman was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And we learned about this. My wife and I went to the house. And we started talking to her. She said she doesn't know what has happened. So we prayed. As I'm saying, now she's coming to the church. The Lord has delivered that woman. In fact, she could not eat. Everything that woman eats, she will throw up. But when we prayed for her, the Lord touched that lady. And that lady, she's strong now. She's doing okay. The church that she didn't want to go, now she's coming to the church. You see, we give the glory to God. So I'm talking about power tonight, church. We need to believe God for power. I believe that is the answer to these drug problems. If we, as the church, will come together corporately and begin to call upon God on certain days and decide to set aside certain times to fast and to pray, there's no telling what God can do in our communities. Because we believe we are surrounded by a lot of, you know, these drug people that the enemy has chained, the enemy has bound. And the Bible says this thing does not go out but by prayer and fasting. So I believe if ever there is time that we are going to see the power of God moving once again in the church, we need to go back to this area called prayer and believe in God to release power in our midst. Hallelujah. So I'm saying tonight, God wants to release power. When God's power is in you, do you know that the devil is powerless? Without the power of God, the devil is powerful. So we must know that the devil is over 6,000 years old. He is very experienced. And this is why we need God. We need his power. We need to call upon God's power every day. Hallelujah. You see, the problem is not, you know, the problem is not that, you know, people don't have power. The problem is that we don't activate it. The power lie fallow in your life. And until you activate it, it is like somebody, you have a key to the door to come inside here. But you are standing outside. You are standing outside. So the problem is not the key. The problem is not the door. The problem is you do not know how to apply the key. You do not know how to use the key to get into this house. So God wants to release his power. Power can be in somebody's life and he doesn't even know and he doesn't even use it. Somebody can have a brand new Jeep but cannot move it. And if you cannot move it, it is useless, right? You can have an AK-47 gun. You can have a general purpose machine gun. You can have a pumping action gun. All of these guns, you know, if all you do is just to watch them, they are of no use. They are useless. And this is the way I picture quite a lot of Christians. Jesus has paid the price and has given you these benefits. It is for you to walk in these gifts. It is for you to use them for the glory of God. And many times when the enemy attacks you, all you do is to cry. All you do is to cry. So, power can be in your life. But nothing happens. And this is what we are seeing. We have to arise. It is time. The days of miracles are not over. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, listen to me. You say, Pastor, we've heard you. We've seen that this is one of the benefits. God wants to give you, God wants to restore this power once again in the church. Do you know that we are the most privileged generation? But do you know also that we are the most powerless generation? We are the most privileged. We have everything at the touch of a body. But we are the most powerless. So, if you want the power of God, you want that extraordinary power, can I share with you tonight a few things, what you need to do? Number one, you need to get connected to the Holy Spirit.
To many of us, we don't know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a stranger to some of us. He's not our friend. We don't fellowship with him much. We don't pray much. We don't seek the face of God. When the Spirit of God wakes you up at night, you will take night sleep. Right? You take night sleep to sleep more. But God wants you to pray. God wants us to take over our community, our streets. God wants us to take these places. And so, we need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is the generator of the supernatural? He is the powerhouse of God. You need power. Many people believe that, you know, when they are eloquent, that is power. I learned many years ago that, you know, Pentecostal preaching is not eloquence. It is not milk and honey preaching. It is not shouting. Some people can shout. All they have done is just shout. But nothing happens. But Pentecostal preaching is preaching the gospel with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. With the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so the devil will only bow when you have power. And that is why we need today, we need God's power. We need the power of God in our churches. I believe if we have this power in our churches, I'm telling you, you know, people will think twice before they will rush somebody to the hospital. They will know that there is a church called First Pentecostal Church here. If you go to that church, I'm telling you, you will not go back with that disease. You will not go back with that sickness. You will not go back with that problem. The Lord will meet you. The Lord will touch you. And do you know when God's power begins to move here? We begin to have 2 services, 3 services, because the power of God is there to touch people. But too many of us, we are complacent, we are content. Oh yes, I don't need nothing, and I don't need to wake up 12 o'clock at night. I don't need to wake up 4 o'clock. Why should I wake up 4 o'clock? But if you want power, there is a price. There is a cost that you need to pay. Hallelujah. If you desire the Holy Ghost, you need to cry to God. Then second, if you want power, you need to live a holy life. Your life must be free from sin. Your life must be clean. The Holy Spirit is called holy because he is holy. And he wants to dwell in holy vessels. So if you want the Holy Spirit, you must be holy. You must take that cigarette from your mouth. You must take that drinking from your hand. You must stop the things that will cause the Holy Spirit to go away. You need to stop them. You know, the word sin, I always say it's an acronym, S-I-N. It means success in nothing. When somebody is living in sin, you might think that you are making progress, but you will end up being the loser. You will end up being the loser. So God wants us to glorify him with our body. Our bodies must be holy. So if you smoke or you drink alcohol, you are defiling your body. Your body must be kept pure. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So if we want power, church, you need to desire the Holy Spirit. You need to live a holy life. And number three, you need to spend time in prayer. You need to spend time in prayer. The Bible says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And that is Luke 24:49. Hallelujah. You cannot flow in the Holy Ghost unless you spend time in prayer. Prayer is very important. Many of us, if they should conduct a statistics today about our prayer life, some cannot even pray for 5 minutes. But prayer is our lifeline. If we are going to survive, don't just hide behind holiness. Yes, I'm holy, but you are not praying. Somebody said holiness minus prayer is frustration. You be a frustrated person. This is why we see quite a lot of holiness folks. You see them walking with a sulky face. They are very discouraged. Because they don't call first things first. Prayer is what keeps us going. So we need to spend time in prayer. Listen to me. If you want God's power, you want God's power in your life, you need to get addicted to the word of God. The wise man said, too much study wearies the body. But somebody said, it does not weary the congregation. Because you always have something new to share to the people. When you study, you apply yourself. You dig deep into the word of God. You always have something fresh to give to the people. So we need to be addicted. The Bible says in Luke 5:17, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting, by which we came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Did you hear what God is saying here? See, as he was teaching the word, the power of God was present. So I'm saying that anywhere the word of God is present, do you know that power is also present? Power is also present. As Jesus was declaring the word, power was also released. I am believing God for greater things. I am attempting greater things for God. I'm trusting God. I do not give up in any situation, in any circumstance. And so, I believe we are living in exciting time, but the devil is making it difficult for some of us to think that, you know, nothing is taking place. Hallelujah. And so, my friend, we need to be addicted to the word of God. We need to love the word of God. The word of God must become our necessary meat. You cannot separate the word of God from the power of God. If you want to flow in power, you must become a word addict, or you must addicted to the word of God. Make it a matter of discipline to have a reasonable amount of the word of God in your spirit every day. You know, I have a goal every year to go through the entire Bible. So when I pray, I look forward to reading my Bible. I want to go through it. I don't just want to be told. I want to read it myself. I want to read it myself. Do you know that we have people that do not know nothing about the Bible? They only depend on what they hear in church. As soon as the church service is over, they will dust the Bible and put it back in the shelf until Wednesday and until Sunday. But the Bible must be our companion. We must study it. We must know it to our fingertips if we are going to do something great and effective for God. Hallelujah. If we are going to do something effective for God. Hallelujah. We must become an addict of the word of God. Before you wake up in the morning and you reach out to your cell phone, why can't you reach out to your Bible first? Why can't you reach out to your Bible first? Many people, you know, as soon as they wake up in the morning, they want to know what the news has to say. What does Wall Street, what does the Yahoo News has to say? But this should not be the order. The order must be, reach out to the word of God. You know, I read the story of this great man of God, Smith Wigglesworth. In his lifetime, he told some of his members during fellowship, he said, anytime you see me and you do not see the Bible, I will give you money. I will give you money. So some of the members became very anxious. They were watching him and they were anxious. So I read that one day he left his house to go to the garden. He dressed casual. So one of the members was chasing him. He said, Pastor, you are not with your Bible. You are not with your Bible. Guess what? He surprised that member who came to meet him. He reached out in his pocket and he took out the Bible. And he said, this is my Bible. See, many of us today, technology, instead of coming with our Bibles, we come with our laptops We come with our phones. But the Bible must be in our hands. We must use it. And I want you to know, you said, why did Smith Wigglesworth reach out and took out his Bible? Because he was addicted to the Word of God. So you see, many of us, we are ashamed in our place of work, in our place of business. We don't let people know our identity. Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, he said, when he comes, he'll be ashamed of you. He'll be ashamed of you. Also, one time, this same Smith Wigglesworth, he was carrying a corpse. And he took that corpse and he placed it on the wall. He took that corpse and placed it by the wall and he said, corpse, run. And the corpse will fall down with his face. He did that the first time. And the second time, there was a man, there was somebody who saw him. And he looked at him and he said, you are a wicked man. This is a corpse. Why are you raising that corpse up? And you are doing what you are doing. And Smith Wigglesworth answered this man and he said, I want you to mind your business. I'm doing my business. Mind your business. I'm doing my business. And for the third time, he took that corpse and he leaned it against the wall and he said to that corpse, run. Guess what? That corpse started running. Started running. You say, why did this happen? Smith Wigglesworth was the man who believes that with God, nothing is impossible. Too many times we give up. Too many times we think that, you know, God is not in the healing business no more. Some, when they come to church, they will put a lot of medication in their bags. But God is here. You are coming in God's presence. Hallelujah. So, I'm just talking about one of the benefits. And quickly, I want to go to the second one. It talks about not only power, but it talks about riches. Riches. Now, the Oxford Dictionary defines riches as material prosperity, as financial prosperity, liquid and cash wise, corrential prosperity. And do you know when you get money, you'll be able to serve God effectively? You know, I was raised in a church that do not believe that you should have nice things. And for many years, I grew up that way. But as I began to read the Bible myself, I began to study. I came across the book of Deuteronomy 28. The Bible says, it shall come to pass if you are diligent. That is holiness. When you live holy, God wants to bless you. He wants to visit you. And so, I started seeing from verse 1 to 14. Can we go there quickly? Deuteronomy 28. I want us to see this. I will not keep you longer than necessary. I know you are good at doing some research. You can go and check at these benefits that we see in Revelation 5, verse 12. But let's look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 14. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3 say, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy baskets and thy store. You know, a whole lot of them till verse 14. It tells us about the blessing when you are walking in obedience to Christ. That is God's blessing. That is God's prosperity in our life. But too many times we think that, you know, when you live holy, you must be so poor and so that you can stay pure. Some people think that, you know, when you have too much money, you become proud. No, it's because you lack character that will cause you to be proud. But God wants to bless his children. God wants us to have nice place to sleep. He wants us to have nice car. He wants us to have nice things. God is not against these things. It's only when we put our faith and our confidence in these things, this is where you will run into trouble. This is where you will run into trouble. So church, I'm saying, listen, the Bible says, Gentiles shall come to thy light and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Gentiles here is speaking of those who are not saved. When you become born again, child of God, the Bible says the light of the gospel shines upon you and it attracts sinners to you. It attracts sinners to you. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the just. So, we must believe God to bless us. Not to hold it, but to use it. I'm praying. I say, God, prosper me. I want to take the whole nation of Sierra Leone with the gospel. And we need money. You cannot propagate this gospel without money. So, we need to believe God for riches. We need to pray that people in London that do not have use for their money, that God will direct them to First Pentecostal. I was hoping that Brother Jarvis would say, amen, brother. Yeah, we need to pray that prayer. There's a lot of money out there. And the enemy is using it, you know, for the wrong purpose. So we need to begin to pray, God, bring this money into the house of God. Because this church is a missionary church, so that you can be able to support all the churches all around the world. Because this is some of the challenges we face. You know, presently, I'm a little bit nervous because we used to have 60% Muslim in Sierra Leone. Now it's over 70%. It's over 70%. And this is why we want to go quickly and get this tower running. And as long as, you know, God is still holding them. It's not bad like what we hear in Nigeria when they burn down churches and kill Christians. It has not happened yet in Africa, in my place. And so we are thankful to God. So if you can help us with the money, we'll be very grateful. That is what is pushing me to come to the States. Hallelujah. So I can go on and on to talk about wealth and blessing. You see, people have this erroneous belief that the poor you are, the pure you are. And some of us have grown up with that mentality. But I believe we must change it. We must begin to pray. God bless this ministry. Bless our lives so that we can be a blessing. That God will, you know, the people that God will bring our way. See, many people believe that scarcity means chastity. But scarcity does not mean chastity. You cannot tell me that you are tempted when you are poor. Like somebody back home, he said, I'm not drinking anymore. The reason why he said this, he doesn't have money. But when money comes, this is where the real test comes. This is where the real test comes. So church, I can go on and on to talk to you about the benefit of riches. It must be ours. God wants to bless us. We have enough and we can also spare to give to the body of Christ and support the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So church, if you are going to get riches, the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 3 verse 11, it says, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Who do you think this is talking about? King Solomon. King Solomon. Solomon did not ask for riches, but God blessed him anyway. God blessed this man. He had more riches than all the kings of the earth. God wants to bless us. If we can just reach out and have that faith and believe him, there's no telling. what God will do in our lives. Church, I don't want to wore you out, but read it in Revelation 5, verse 12. There are seven. I only scratched two tonight. So the five, you are all students. When I come back next year, if Jesus doesn't come, we'll look at the others. So tonight, I want to turn the pulpit over back to Pastor Jarvis and give the glory to God. Amen.